What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
We are heading down the home stretch of the Big 12 basketball regular season, and what a race it's turned into. I'm Pete Mundo. He is our lead Big 12 basketball writer and columnist at Heartland College Sports. Matthew Poston's joining us on the show. With just three games left in the Big 12 basketball regular season, Arizona's at the top, Matthew. They've got a solid two-game lead over Iowa State, Houston, Kansas, and Texas Tech. Are we going to put the bow on this thing for Arizona, or are you leaving the door open to potentially somebody else slipping in the back door?
Well, I think you've got to leave the door open a little bit because of what Arizona has left. You know, they've got Kansas coming up this weekend. They've got Iowa State coming up after that. Both of those teams are two games back. So if Kansas and Iowa State can help each other out a little bit and beat Arizona, then you've got potentially at least a three-way tie at the top in the conference. And then, you know, thinking about tiebreakers and things like that, Kansas might end up with the number one seed if they can win out, and Iowa State can help them out a little bit. Iowa State's not exactly in a great mood to help Kansas out with anything. So, but it's not a done deal yet. It's close for Arizona, but it's not a done deal just yet.
I agree. Now, when you look at, you know, the way this past week played out, you had the big Monday game, KU just literally unbeatable on Big Monday at home under Bill Self, now 41-0. Houston had lost two games in a row now. So what about this Houston team is concerning to you? For me, I mean, I picked KU in this game because this does not feel like Houston's 2024-25 team. They don't shoot the three ball as well. We talked about, you know, LJ Cryer being such a big loss for this team. They still play great defense. They can hit the offensive glass, but they just can't spread the court out. What do you think is missing from that team this year?
Well, I think they need to get healthy, and that's really hard to do this time of year. Both Emmanuel Sharpe and Milo Zuzon are dealing with what I think would be called minor injuries at this point. I think Sharpe has a hip issue per Kelvin Sampson. So that's part of the reason they weren't as involved on Monday night. But if you look at their numbers, it's been – they had a period of time there in January and early February where they were very consistent offensively. And it's kind of taken a bit of a dip over the past couple of weeks. And I think the health of those two players is part of it. Uzon is not shooting the three as well as he shot it a year ago. He's about 8 or 9% below where he was a season ago. Kingston Flemings is obviously still having a fantastic year, but they're becoming more reliant on him as their first option, probably a bit over-reliant, which is why I think Chris Sinak can be a guy that can help them out down the stretch. He's not playing like a freshman anymore. He's playing more like a sophomore. If they can get him more involved in the offense, maybe use him more often in a screen and roll with Flemings. He's explosive. He can get to the basket. He's got a good outside shot from outside the paint. I think that would help take some of the pressure off of Sharp and Uzon, maybe help them get a little bit healthier and put them in a position where they can, you know, be more helpful offensively down the stretch. They're they're a little unbalanced right now. And I think what they need over the next three games, whether they win or lose, is they need to get their offense back in balance. Because like you said, the defense, the offensive rebounding, those are the things they do best. If they can balance out their offense a little bit, they can still be dangerous.
Now, let's look at this Kansas team. I mean, they have a terrible game against Cincinnati. They come back, they beat Houston, they beat Arizona. I mean, this is a really tough team to predict. And Kelvin Sampson said after the game, kind of more or less the same thing. And Darren Peterson seemed to take that personally. I don't think he should, because the evidence is you don't know what you're getting night in, night out from KU. I mean, they could lose. Would you be shocked if they lost a 3-14 game in round one of the tournament, or if they got to the Final Four? Neither of those outcomes would shock me this year for KU.
No, I was actually just talking to somebody, talking to KNOX Radio up in Des Moines, one of the stations I have a good relationship with it. And I said, you know, Kansas is that team in the tournament where you just close your eyes and touch a screw. And you kind of hope what happens, happens.
Yeah.
Because they are the most unpredictable team in this conference. I do think one good thing that has come out of the last few weeks and the last month is that basically the rest of the guys in the team, they're not worried about all this stuff with Darren Peterson anymore. I think they've gotten to a point where they've been able to tune it out and play their game. If Darren plays, cool, come on. You know, we're happy with that. If Darren can't play, that's fine. We'll take it on. And they've proven enough to me that they're a good enough team to win games without him. Now, Darren's a differentiator, and that's the problem in this. When you get into the NCAA tournament, he's the guy that can turn it on at the press of a button, give you 25 points in 20 minutes, and you know, put you in the next round. ESPN during that game on Monday, you know, noted that even though Peterson's missed like a dozen games, his points per minute efficiency is among the best in the country. I mean, when he's on the floor, he scores. He helps them out in so many ways. And he has played at least 30 minutes in four of the last six games. So I know I've said this before, maybe he's turning a corner when it comes to the health thing. And if he is, that's great for Kansas. But even if he can't play significant minutes from game to game, I like what the rest of this team is doing, but they need the whole package if they're going to get to the Final Four with this group. And that means Darren Peterson for 30 minutes scoring 20 points a game, and guys like Trey White and Melvin Council Jr. and Florey Badunga giving them what they've been giving them for the past month.
How high are you on Iowa State, knowing that they are just unbeatable at home? They do have four losses in conference play, all on the road, and on the season, all on the road. And I mean, can this team make a great run in March? I think they can, but let's be honest, they feel like they've mostly underachieved in March, whether it was, you know, going back to some years under Hoiberg and then Prohm early in his tenure, and then even under Otzelberger. They just feel like they don't get to where we think they should get. And I looked it up before we got on the air. I didn't realize that they have not been to an Elite Eight in 26 years now. So that Sweet 16's kind of been their ceiling, even though they've had talent to get past that level. They just seem to be unable to do it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think TJ's gotten them there at least twice since he's been there, which, you know, I think part of positioning yourself to be that kind of team is to be consistently there every year, and TJ's been able to do that. But to that point, you know, it is sort of time for them to level up to a certain degree, and I think they have the team to do it. I think what's been curious about the way they've played the past few weeks is, you know, Bateman has been giving them a little bit more as a three-point shooter, and he needs to give them more. He's actually a 38% free throw shooter, close to 39%. And the way teams are now gearing themselves to defend Milo Monsilovic, because he's a 50% three-point shooter, and that's kind of absurd. You have to pay a lot of attention to him. Bateman can really give them something off the bench in terms of three-point shooting. Hit that big three against Houston a week or so ago. If he can give them a little bit more consistent scoring from the three-point area off the bench or in the starting lineup, however TJ decides to align them, it really helps, you know, take some of the pressure off of Momcilovic and also peel some of the defense off of him. I think that could be their biggest problem offensively is, you know, obviously they're going to pay attention to Jefferson. They're going to pay attention to Lipsy, but they're going to pay a lot of attention to him because of the way he shoots from three. You've got to balance out the offense enough to where you can force teams to say, okay, we can't double team him anymore. We've got to defend him one-on-one because he's great in one-on-one situations. So I like where they're at defensively. Obviously, they're one of the best defensive teams in the country. I think they have the right tools offensively to make a good run to get past the Sweet 16. I think the trick is going to be they might be a little bit more matchup driven now than maybe I thought they were a couple of weeks ago. I mean, for them to go to BYU and lose the way they did the other night, that really kind of hit me. Like, okay, now you guys are better than that. You're a better team than that to lose that game in Provo. And that gives you concerns when you think about going to a neutral site, whether it's the Big 12 tournament or the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. That was a concerning loss. Just the road has not been kind to them. And listen, you're not playing at Hilton Coliseum in the NCAA tournament. And even Kansas City, where they play great, it's Hilton South. I mean, literally, they call Kansas City Hilton South. So at some point, you got to prove you can do it on the neutral site, the road, the neutral court, whatever you want to call it. And that's going to be something that I'm not going to have a lot of confidence beyond the first weekend for Iowa State because of these issues, no matter how they close the season. I got to see it to believe it. So now let's look at the bubble here, Matthew, in the Big 12. You know, these teams are all playing each other here this week, and they have over the last few days. UCF, I think, is officially off that bubble. I saw them as one of the last four byes. They beat BYU, obviously, this week. That's a good win.
They're off that last four byes now, per Lenardi, after that game. They're off that. So that means they're safely in. Last four byes is like the staging area before you end up on the bubble, truly. They're off that last four byes list now going into the weekend. So, you know, to me, with 20 wins, they're in overall. Yeah. And the history of the Big 12 over the past 10 years is if you win 20 games, chances are you're going to be in the NCAA tournament. So I feel like they're safely in at this
point. I agree. They're in, and then BYU's in. So we've got seven solid teams in there in the Big 12. And then you kind of have this mishmash of TCU, West Virginia, Cincinnati. I think that's it. And there's no way Colorado, Oklahoma State, Arizona State are in the mix. They were kind of there earlier in the week coming out of the weekend, but I don't see it happening for them. TCU gets that win over Arizona State. I feel like it's going to be eight teams. I think that TCU is going to find its way in. I think that West Virginia just is not playing great right now. And then, listen, Cincinnati obviously had a nice run here before losing to Tech the other night. But I think it's too little too late for Cincinnati. I think we'll end up with eight as TCU is that eighth team. Where are you at right now in the bubble for the Big 12?
Yeah, I feel like TCU has the best path. I mean, they've got Kansas State and Cincinnati left. Those are both quad two games for them. They go to TCU. I'm not expecting them to beat TCU and love it. But let's just say for the sake of argument, they can. And they go 3-0 down the stretch. That would be 20 wins. That to me would leave no doubt in my mind that TCU should be in the tournament. Even if they go 2-1, win a game in Kansas City, maybe really push a team in the quarterfinals, I think that puts them in good position to get into the tournament. Their record against quad one teams is actually really good. If you look at it, it's better than any of the other teams that are on the bubble right now, I believe, at this point. But beating Tech, I don't think beating Tech is a differentiator for them. I think if they can beat Kansas State and beat Cincinnati and get to looking at the standings now, that would actually put them at 20 wins. So that would put them at that number where I think the committee would have a hard time ignoring them based on their resume.
I agree with you there.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Cincinnati obviously made this big push. I think we both agree they're probably not going to make it. But you know what? Wes Miller made it interesting. You know, I mean, I guess if they close against Oklahoma State, BYU at home, who's obviously been up and down at TCU, I mean, it's not impossible for them, but boy, is it tough. What does this mean for Wes Miller?
Yeah. So, you know, their path right now is basically win out, get themselves to 18 wins. TCU game would be interesting because that's a road game for Cincinnati. So that's a quad one game. BYU would be a quad one game. So they've actually got two quad one opportunities here down the stretch. I think Wes Miller's done enough to get himself one more year, with the caveat that we're going to have you back one more year. Here's your chair. Don't worry that it's warm. It's just going to be that way all year next year, because, you know, this is a program that, you know, under Bob Huggins, they were going to be in the tournament practically every year. And they've always been a really good program. I mean, I don't think people realize this is where Oscar Robertson went to college. He went to Cincinnati. That this is a program that has been a really good program for a long time. And Wes has turned them into a rock solid program, but they just haven't made that push to the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I think he's done enough here down the stretch to get the brass at Cincinnati to give him one more year. But I mean, that's going to be the year. He's going to have to get it done next year, or they're going to make a change.
I'm Pete Mundo. He's Matthew Poston's Heartland College Sports is where we cover the Big 12 Conference. Make sure that you like the video, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate you being here. Let's look at some of the big games in the Big 12 this weekend, Matthew. And let's start with KU on the road against Arizona, top 15 matchup, ESPN, Saturday afternoon. I mean, KU got him in Lawrence, but I think it's going to be very difficult for KU to get this win on the road on Saturday. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, it's interesting. Having gone to a game there now at McHale, I can tell you just how difficult it is to play there. It's a incredible environment. I went for the Tech game. Now, Tech won that game. That was a period of time where Arizona was not playing quite as well. That was right after they lost at Kansas on Big Monday, came back home, lost to Tech on Saturday. But that's going to be an absolutely electric environment. I mean, it's going to be a really, really tough game for Kansas to win there. Coa Peets, not sure if he's going to play Saturday or not. Tommy Lloyd is talking like it's a possibility now, you know, as opposed to him being ruled out, you know, right away like he was earlier this week. They're still waiting for Dwayne Aristide to come back from an illness. But, you know, otherwise, you know, I love the way Arizona's kind of, you know, we talked about their depth all year. You know, they're the deepest team in the conference, especially in the offensive side. I mean, you can get an Anthony DeLorso to give you 20 plus points off the bench two games in a row. That tells you a lot about, you know, how deep they are. They just beat Baylor. That was a tough game for them. Baylor gave them everything in the world they wanted. I think I'm going to take Arizona at home. I think it's going to be like an 84-82 kind of deal. It's going to be high scoring. Defense will still be really good, but it's going to be a high scoring game. It's going to come right down to the wire. Jaden Bradley is going to have a lot to do with who wins that game after not playing particularly well at Kansas a few weeks ago.
You know, the other thing is, like, I'm trying to figure out how KU, I mean, listen, KU's got the talent, obviously. They've beaten Arizona before. There was so much emotion when these two teams played on that Big Monday game without Darren Peterson a couple of weeks back. Kansas can't duplicate that. Now, they should have Peterson for this game, which obviously gives them a great lift.
Yeah.
But I feel like Peterson's going to have just one of those epic, you know, NBA preparation style games for them to win this thing on the road, because everything you look at, from, you know, field goals to, you know, the ability to rebound to turnovers to steals, it all benefits Arizona. Mm-hmm. The only way I look at KU as potentially winning this game is if they just get red hot from three-pointer, because we know that's something that Arizona doesn't do well. And if they spread the floor, if they open it up, if they're shooting 40-45% from three, I can see KU pulling out the win. But Arizona is also the best scoring team in the Big 12, so they you know, they're going to put 75-80 points on the board in this game, I feel like, especially at home. Don't you see that?
Yeah, I agree. And if you go back and you look at the first time they played, you know, Kansas didn't out-rebound Arizona, but they only got out-rebounded by three or four.
Yeah.
They reduced margins where Arizona beats teams, rebounding, turnovers, points off turnovers, that kind of thing, to a manageable amount.
Yes.
And then they augmented that with some solid three-point shooting. I think Flory Badunga had a really good night that night inside, which is hard to do with the inside players that Arizona has. So they won that game because they were able to reduce margins where Arizona dominates teams. They're going to have to do that again on Saturday. They're going to have to reduce the rebounding margin, reduce the turnover margin. You know, like you said, I think they're going to have They don't necessarily have to have a big night from three, but a good night from three. And anything they can get from Darren Peterson, especially if he can give them 20, 25 points on the road, that really helps them out a great deal. They're not going to beat Arizona at their own game. They're going to have to do the things they do well and reduce the margins in the areas where they know Arizona is better than them.
Matthew, all right. So I'm going to say Arizona 76, KU 70. Give me a score.
What did I say earlier? 84-82, I think is what
okay.
I said.
Okay. All right. You got a high scoring game there. Matthew's on the over. There you go. I'm Pete Mundo. He's Matthew Poston's Heartland College Sports, where you find us covering the Big 12. Make sure you are subscribed right now to the channel. Matthew, let's dive into the other big game of the weekend. It's a top 16 matchup. Texas Tech is on the road, taking on Iowa State, Hilton Coliseum. Boy, that is a tough spot for the Red Raiders. We know how good Iowa State is at home, literally unbeatable at home this season. What's the case for Texas Tech here, or is it just Christian Anderson having the game of his life?
Well, you know, obviously he had a great game against Cincinnati the other night, and really they've played well without JT Topp in the first two games, and they've kind of done what I thought they would do. They've kind of bought into their perimeter game, run a lot of screen and roll to get Christian Anderson open to operate. Donovan Atwell's been involved. Lawan Watts has been involved. They've really gotten their best shooters involved from outside, and they're getting whatever they can from inside. I mean, you know, Christian Anderson said one of the things that they've really emphasized since JT went down is guard rebounding. You know, JT was one of the best, most dominant rebounders in the country. And even he told Grant McCaslin after he got hurt, I don't know who's going to rebound. Well, what they've ultimately decided on is it's got to be a collective effort. Everybody's got to crash the glass. So that should serve them well down the line. That said, I think this is the game we find out just how much Texas Tech can stretch without JT Toppin. I mean, they beat Kansas State, they beat Cincinnati. Those are nice wins, but this is a top 15 team on the road. The environment in Hilton is incredible. This is a team that has a big guy inside that they're going to have a hard time matching up with in Joshua Jefferson. I think we're going to find out a lot about how far Texas Tech can go after the Big 12 tournament in this game. It's going to be really interesting because, you know, if this were a full strength game, I'd give Tech a really good chance of winning at Hilton, but without Toppin, Iowa State's not going to win on a walk, but I think they're going to win the game.
I'm with you. And, you know, if there's an avenue for Texas Tech here, you got to stop the three ball. I mean, we know how good Iowa State is, especially at home. Talked about it earlier when it comes to their ability to knock it down from deep in league play. Iowa State's second in the Big 12 behind Texas Tech in shooting the three-pointer. If Tech can hit their road threes, I mean, it's a simple formula for me. But if Tech gets hot from deep and they can slow down Iowa State to some extent, they're in a good place. But both of these teams are in the top three in three-point shooting offense and three-point shooting defense. So if something gives in a major way, maybe it favors Tech here in all this. But we'll have to see, because Tech just lets it fly from deep. Iowa State's a little more methodical in terms of picking and choosing their shots from deep. So that is a difference with these two teams. But I'm with you. I'm going to go I'll go Iowa State 68, Texas Tech 63. There you go.
Iowa State 72, Texas Tech 69. And I will say this. I think the most important player in this game for Iowa State is going to be Jamarion Bateman, because Tech is obviously going to spend so much time pressuring Milo Monsilovic in this game, because it has been proven to work in certain degrees if you have the right defender on him. Bateman's a 39% three-point shooter. He just doesn't get a whole lot of opportunities to do it, but he can hit big threes, and he's hit some big threes lately. You need him to have a game where he can hit two or three threes, make defenses respect him, and help siphon off some of that pressure from Momcilovic. Lipsy pitching in would be ideal as well, but I think Bateman's that player on the floor where you don't necessarily think he's going to have an impact on the game, but moving forward, he's got to have more of an impact to help out the big three.
Matthew Poston's, I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Make sure you are subscribed right now to the channel and leave us a rating and review on the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Matthew, let's just wrap it up here. The final minute or so. The only other intriguing games, some of the bubble games. If West Virginia can upset BYU, well, that puts West Virginia back into the conversation. Yeah. Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, obviously Cincinnati's got a win. TCU kind of keeping its momentum going at K-State. Anything else of interest? What are you watching here in the final minute or so?
Let's see. I think that that Baylor-UCF game is kind of interesting just because UCF's coming off the big win over BYU. And I mean, it was a big win. They completely dismantled BYU in Provo. This is the perfect recipe for a letdown game. It's the last game of the night. It's 8 o'clock Eastern in Orlando. I think that could be a game where Baylor reaches up and grabs UCF and kind of upends them. Remember, Baylor played really well against Arizona earlier in the week. That to me feels like kind of the upset special game for the night.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Well, we will be reading, watching, and more. Matthew, great stuff, man. Thanks for being here.
Hey, no problem.
He's Matthew Postens. I'm Pete Mundo. We will talk to you soon as the Big 12 heads down the home stretch of the regular season in basketball. We appreciate you being here, and make sure you are subscribed to the channel and also, as always, on the podcast. Have a great day.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.